Five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition, liftoff.
Release the memo, the Economic Freedom Index, the collapse of Europe and why it is collapsing, what investments pay out 100% return and why Ukraine is an interesting country and profiting from war and speculation. That and more on today's podcast. So I would say subscribe, give your thumbs up, like, repost, and let's get the profitable moment of today on your way because it's a new week. And with that, I would say a very warm welcome to the show. It's the first show of the week, so I'm really happy to have you aboard in this new profitable moment in your life. So having that said, let's begin straight away with the Release the Memo hashtag, which is on the internet. As you know, the Release the Memo is basically about one easy thing. Barack Obama had hired the Department of Justice and the FBI to stonewall and work against the campaign from Donald Trump. And this is interesting because this could be bigger than Watergate. And the reason that I say so is that the sitting president is actively trying to demolish and attack the campaign from his political opponent. And you can say a lot of things about what you want to say, but there are a few things that I always say that we have to keep in common. First of all, let the people decide. You can say something about an election system, that's fine. I mean, in Europe, most countries are operating under a system one person, one vote, and we have so many seats, so we divide it simply by the number of votes, and we are there. So that's one thing. You can say that you have a district area where every area has its own member of parliament. That's also fine. But don't change the rules of the debate during the election. During the cycle, you cannot change it. I mean, it's like saying we're going to play the World Football Championship and, oh yeah, by the way, from now on, the Lithuania football team will have brick wall in front of their goal. Everyone would say that this is simply not fair and not honest, and they are right about it. So, but the thing about Watergate was easy, that the sitting president was using really terrible methods and violating the law to get his opponents out. And now comes the interesting part. Obama did the same. And Obama could not be impeached. And if Democrats say that it's a nasty thing and it's bigger than Watergate, then I have only one question. Why the secrecy? Why not simply release the memo and get it all out? I mean, it makes a lot more sense to me to get it all out and get it out in the profitability so that people can make a choice. Because we can say that we are against it. You can say anything about it. You can say anything about the policies of Trump. You can say anything about the policies of Obama. But any democratic system starts with an easy thing. You need to trust your government that they are not violating election rules. And that is why I was so really angry about, for example, the mayor of Eindhoven, who said that they were counting votes like amateurs in third world countries. That's why I was really angry and upset that in Bergrijk a few hundred votes to D66, a leftist social liberal, they say pro-market party, were lost. It is basically election fraud, and it is also why I think that after those things that the United Nations should send peacekeepers, yes, the soldiers with the blue helmets, just because the Netherlands are gonna vote. I mean, definitely the Netherlands is unable to organize the votes themselves without any problem, so let's get the United Nations in. And I'm not a UN fan. I mean, I'm really against the United Nations. But I'm really thinking it's time to settle this. And if you can't do it, simply don't do it. Social media is here. Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Weibo, blogging, LinkedIn, Swan, Google+, but how to use them in your advantage? Get yourself the Social Media Expert course. It's the smart point to use all social media in your advantage without burning all your time. Hofprofit.com/SMM. I say Hofprofit.com/SMM. every year we have always the same ritual. It is the Economic Freedom Index. The index outlines the personal and business freedom that you experience in a country. And you can say that's a good or a bad thing, but let me say it like this. The countries who are always on the bottom think it's bad, and the countries who are high say it's good. And you always see that things that you don't expect are happening. I mean, to give you a clue, under Obama, the United States of America went down. You see at the moment that there are just two Western-style countries who are high-ranking on economic freedom and personal freedom. And on the personal freedom field, a lot of things I don't care about. I mean, I don't care about religious freedom. I'm not religious at all. Who cares? Leave me out of it. What you do behind your door, leave me out of it. So that's also why, but that's why, for example, Singapore and Hong Kong, the two Asian city-style countries who are always basically in the top five of economic freedom, are not in the personal freedom list because they don't have those things. And that's fine by me. I mean, why bother about those things? I mean, religion is being used for the most terrible things in the world. Look at the Spanish Inquisitions, look at the terroristic attack of 9/11. It are all things. Look at the Bataclan, look at the slaughter of the editors of the Charlie Hebdo. It's all fueled and inspired by religion. And I don't say that everyone who is religious is going to do this. I just say this is the case. I mean, if you look at the Knights of Malta, who are doing, based upon their religious belief, are doing a lot of charity work and arranging ambulances and medical services in the third world. It's great. But it's really powered by religion. And we need to realize this. I mean, if I look in the Netherlands, there are no official hospitals, for as far as I know, who are not formed due to a religion goal. And that does not mean that they gonna say, oh, you're from the wrong religion, we are not going to treat you. No way. It's just they are powered by this. And you need to realize, I mean, that's also why when I was born, the hospital gave me three basically what they did three times, I think that one time was not good enough, is to say that God was accepting my soul because they thought I was gonna die, and I didn't die. Just wondering why the hell they did it three times. I mean, what did they know that I don't know? But if you look at the Economic Freedom Index, you see, in the Western-style countries, there are only two countries who are in the top 10 and both, in the personal and economic freedom. And yes, you're right, there is no member state of the European Union, it's not the United States, it's not Canada, it are Switzerland and New Zealand. Yes, both countries are low-tax jurisdictions, both countries need your money, both countries are offering really good facilities for tax structures and privacy structures. Yeah, they do it. I mean, if you think New Zealand is the only Western-style country who has a free trade agreement with China. I mean, I would say, yeah, I want to go for it. I want to have a free trade deal with China. You get your Chinese stuff to us, and we get our stuff to you. It's great. Let's cause deflation in consumer prices. Would be lovely. So, and what you see here in Europe, people say we need to get it on, but what we realize is that, for example, Greece is on number 60, and European countries are slowly going down. You see, the United States is in 1 year went up one place. So it's really interesting to see if the Trump policy is going to work out any longer, because it would really make the Trump policy going the extra mile. And if it would happen that it goes the extra mile, then yeah, well, it could be fun. It could be really fun to see that the United States is going to go back in this top 10 position where it was in between the 1980s and the 1990s. Of course, I would think that every country should simply strive and go for a top 10 position on both lists. But let's start with economic. I mean, let's simply start and just say, what do you need to go up two places in the list in 1 year? And simply do it and then do the next things. And do the next thing. If you see that, if you're looking at the list and you see that countries like Botswana are going up and really big steps. Yeah, and I know if you're at the bottom, it's really easy to get up because there are a lot of things that you can go the proper way. But if you see that, for example, Venezuela is in the bottom. So, well, that sounds like a lovely country to me to live, Venezuela. If you're standing in line for the little bit of food there is, then the police will shoot you, even if you're 18 years old and you're 5 months pregnant. That's Venezuela. So, no, I think that they basically check the list and The list is a lovely outline for you on where to live and where not to live. All the listeners love to making some money, but you will have to pay tax upon your money. But that's to change. You can save on your tax. Pay no tax. Completely legal. Start earning more money so you can take care for your beloved ones. So you can travel visa-free. Get yourself the tax-free passport. Get yourself the starting point to a tax-free lifestyle. A lifestyle which is an ultimate freedom. Hofprofit.com/passport. I say Hofprofit.com/passport. Have a look at what a company needs to make a 100% return. Just 100%. And this is something that I would say, yeah, this is the way to go if you invest in stocks. Because people are always going the easy mile and going to companies that are publicly highly, highly, highly popular. But maybe it are the more unpopular things. And basically, you see, well, first of all, it's always definitely growth. And for a big company, high growth is tougher than for a small company. I mean, just imagine you're a local company, you just went public, you are going it, and you are slowly selling on globally. I mean, this is an interesting move. But basically just look at two things and invest in those companies and take the long run on it. First of all, you need to look at the returns on the capital invested in the business. I mean, just imagine you put $100 in the business and it generates a cash profit of $20. That's 20% return on equity. I mean, that's a really good thing. I mean, 20 is good. And just take for yourself that a company should have a return on equity of 15 to 20% at least. The higher the better, because it means that the company and the management, and don't forget, you are hiring the management. You are their boss. I mean, that's always how I look at it. Would I hire this person? So if they are doing it with, let's say, 20%, then you know that for every penny they invest, they're going to get pretty good money out. And the second thing is that the ability to grow into new markets, and that means geographical, international, just what it is. In the Netherlands, you have a prime example of a company who did that really well, and that was Aalbers. Aalbers Industry is an industrial conglomerate, and they were making all types of small parts for different companies. And what they did really well is entering new markets, and what they always said, we are in the Netherlands, and we're going to buy companies to get access into new geographical markets, but it is a market that is literally a border market from our market, or that we want to invest into a company in the chain in the field that we are doing. So they were making making investment shift. Yeah, well, we are doing this with iron, and this is a really logical thing. This company is doing it, we are doing it. So this is one thing that they can do. And they did small turners, small purchases, all small, nothing. It was all, everyone knew it was common sense, it worked. And it's a company that a lot of people like, because, you know, they were not going big. They didn't do big purchases. They simply said the purchase should be small, no more than 2% of the group. And then it should, for example, if it's a distribution company, it also starts selling our stuff. And on this way, we can create growth, and it's a lovely way. And this is what we need, and this is what you should look at. I mean, at least if what you are doing like me.
All the listeners love to making some money, but you will have to pay tax upon your money. But that's to change. You can save on your tax. Pay no tax. Completely legal. Start earning more money so you can take care for your beloved ones. So you can travel visa-free. Get yourself the tax-free passport. Get yourself the starting point to a tax-free lifestyle. A lifestyle which is an ultimate freedom. Hofprofit.com/passport. I say Hofprofit.com/passport.
It's time for the final two segments of the show, and I'm going to bring them together because they are really linked and they are all one. And it's easy what we're going to chat about. We're going to chat about profiting from wars and why Ukraine is an interesting country for me. First of all, profiting on wars, it's highly incorrect, and a lot of people will say it's bad. And if I look at a few things that I know for certain, we keep reproducing ourselves in a physical interactive way. Or to say it like a friend of me, she is a female, and we have the same... she's a few years younger, and but we celebrate our birthday on the same day. She said it was a miracle, and I said, no, it's the logical result of a biological interaction between your father and your mom, resulting in a scientific interaction. Your mom got pregnant. Basically, to say it the nice way. So, war is one thing that we are pretty certain about it's gonna happen. And what we need to be certain about, and what I always look at is making money, make money on things that you know for certain. Go that route. I mean, you can say that it is good or it's bad that we are killing each other. You can say that we are eating is good or bad. But ultimately, what we are doing is just looking at how to make money at it. And at the moment, I'm finalizing my profitable war reports. It's expected to go out in the coming weeks. And what is the interesting part on the profitable war, on the wars, is it's happening. There is a lot of money going out. There's a lot of corruption in it. There are a lot of things, good and bad. But there is a lot going on, and you can make money out of it. And the military industrial complex is really innovative in some countries. In some countries, it's not. And some low innovative, no innovation at all things are highly profitable. I mean, imagine that you own the factory that makes the bullets for the clash for the AK-47. Well, let's face the fact, you're a billionaire. I mean, we know Kalashnikov from the machine gun. So why not go and make money out of it? It's an interesting route to go. And this brings me to Ukraine. Ukraine is, in my opinion, the country next to Lithuania where World War III will break out. And I think World War III will break out due to an accident. It happened, the First World War was an accident. I mean, when the British Secret Service, as they revealed in documents that they make public, they gave the guns and the training to the few people who killed Franz Ferdinand, which is definitely terrible because violence is wrong, in my opinion, but that's it. But they would not do it if they were aware of the fact that it would cause the First World War, or the big war. And don't forget, they needed a few attempts to get it out. They failed a few times. So it was really the way from... they succeeded in their attack, but really in small portions. Well, and it was just... it's not that they were knowing what they were doing. It was, actually, it was just a complete disaster, in my opinion. The Second World War started because Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin divided Poland. That's all. So, when the West declared war, it was not about they were being attacked. It's, and this is terrible. And a lot, so you see that a lot of people died, and it's really sad if you realize that past weekend we were remembering the Holocaust and the terrible things that the Germans did, and the law from Poland that no longer they want you to say that Auschwitz is in Poland. And I would say, well, actually it is. And if I look at the safety and violence record of FC Auschwitz, which is an existing football team, it's not really a friendly group. But the Polish government is right on one thing. They could not do anything about it. They were just cooperating, like most people in Europe, with the idea to gas people. And it was really a handy thing for them, I think. And also for the Dutch government. Basically, you saw everywhere where the governments or people stood up against it. It was not for religious freedom, but they said, hey, the local people. That's what they did in Denmark. Well, that's why the Vichy regime in southern France had no problem at all with getting all the Jews who were not from southern France, but from southern France, they're our people, you don't get them. So, that's it. But you can make money on war, and that's what you should look at. And if you look at Ukraine, it is an interesting country. It is a frozen conflict. It has violence conflict. It has an exploded nuclear power plant in Chernobyl. It is a corrupt country to the bone. And for my podcast, I'm going to go to Kiev, Lviv, Donetsk, Lugansk, Mirispol, Odessa. So I'm going to make a tour around the Russian part of the Crimea, the two towns in eastern Ukraine with the violence, and the towns in Ukraine and the party town Odessa. And Odessa is more if I'm still alive, which is a fair question to ask. I mean, let's face the fact. I have to go to two frozen combat zones. You see, every time the people for press interviews are getting in, the conflict gets up. This can be problematic. But It problematic means it's just a matter of we need to be a little bit more flexible on how to do it. Because let's face the fact, there are big profits to make. And why should you not allow those profits to make your pocket bigger? So about the conflict in Eastern Ukraine, you'll get a lot more things. And also about Ukraine economy and why you should invest or not invest in Ukraine. And I had a chat with Alexander. He owned or was hiring out a few apartments in Lugansk. He left Lugansk for obvious reasons. He wanted to stay alive. And we had a great chat via Skype just about what's happening and how to make money out of it. And let's face the fact, if you listen to the interview, you could double or tridouble your money. Well, 100 to 300% returns? Lovely. Hi, Alexander. Can you hear me?
Hi, do you hear me? Oh, that's lovely. And the recording.
Okay, right.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome. How did you end up living in Lugansk?
I was born there.
That makes sense. Can you give our listeners some insights on what happened there over the past years?
You mean starting from what time? Since the war? Before that?
Just prior, let's say, 2 years before the war and until now, approximately.
Well, 2 years before the war, everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, in fact, I was working as interpreter for some European magazine that was going through the east of Ukraine, and they were searching for contacts to represent Ukrainian companies in the west.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this move to European Union direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then and that was in September 2013. Mm-hmm. And then 1 month later, Yanukovych said that we are not going to Europe anymore, we are going back to Russia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And everything started after that.
Okay.
But not many people realize, even a couple of years before that, the plan was already written in paper. And even one politician in Lugansk made a video clip describing exactly the situation, how it will go on. But the plan was to wait until a re-election in Ukraine. And obviously Yanukovych wouldn't be elected again. And they would start this war from the east of Ukraine. But because of Maidan, everything went much faster. So they couldn't wait. Yanukovych left. And the war started with Crimea.
Okay, so basically what you say is that the plan was already written to start a civil war in Donetsk and Lugansk.
You see, the Russia realized that Yanukovych will lose elections in Ukraine, and pro-Western president will come to Ukraine in power. And if that happens, they lose Ukraine forever. So they needed to install pro-Russian president in Ukraine.
Okay, and why is Ukraine so important for the Russian Federation, the Russian government?
Well, because Putin is obsessed about the USSR and his dream is to restore Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you lived in Lugansk, he was born there, and the war started. What happened? Was it just a bloody civil war?
Well, the political situation in Ukraine was not stable, and for some time there was transition of political power in Kiev. Like Ukraine had control in Crimea, and at the same time, some groups of people were trying to take control over cities in the east of Ukraine. Kharkiv, Lugansk, Donetsk, Odessa, Zaporizhia. Well, the plan was If Russia can take all Ukraine to get half of the Ukraine, the east part, mm-hmm. if they can't take the east part, they wanted at least to take those areas that would let them go to Crimea on land,
mm-hmm.
by land. Okay. Because right now the Crimea is like an island. The only connection is by sea.
Okay.
And they're still building the bridge.
That's making a...
They lost in Odessa, they lost in Kharkov, and they succeeded in Lugansk and Donetsk.
Okay, so what's the situation right now, and what do you think that's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it's now in the frozen stage.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is going to change in the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay, and what does that mean? This show is about making money and having the fun of investing the money. Just one question, who is bankrolling the complete war from both sides?
Sorry, again?
Who is financing the war from both sides? I mean, war is extremely expensive. So who is financing it?
Russia.
So just the Russian taxpayers, and we all know that in Russia the idea of corruption and a suitcase with money is normal.
Yeah.
And from the Ukrainian side, I mean, Ukrainian is really hit by an exploded nuclear power plant in Chernobyl. How can a government finance a war?
Well, you see what happened at the early stages. Ukraine basically had no army.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people volunteered to go to fight, and like these volunteered groups, who most of them had no previous experience mm-hmm. in war, basically those people stopped the front line and gave some time for Ukrainian army to rebuild at least a little.
Mm-hmm.
And stop at the contact line where we are now.
Okay. And if you would look, you had a website in which you are advertising apartments for rent in Lugansk. Would you invest in Lugansk at this moment?
Not right now.
Why not?
Because it's not clear. Well, if this is a frozen conflict for a few years, it makes no sense investing in short term.
Mm-hmm.
Like from my point of view, now the prices are very low, maybe 20-30% of the price we had before, and average if you compare to Ukraine, like half price mm-hmm. of you can find in any other city in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
If Ukraine takes control back, the prices will go up again.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably make double of what you invested. If Russia takes, if Russia officially takes control on those territories, mm-hmm. the prices may go 3 times up, because real estate in Russia is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It is not clear how it is going to develop. I wouldn't invest in real estate in Lugansk right now.
Or is there any other side of that you could invest in to make money out of this conflict that you know?
Transportation is now booming.
Transportation, so trucks, yeah. Flights and supplying services.
For people like... like buses, like there is no way to get to Lugansk only by bus or by car.
Mm-hmm. So could you describe, for someone like me who is considering to make a trip to Lugansk to see it for myself, what's the best way to enter? Is it over Russia or via Ukraine?
You can go via Ukraine, but you will need the permission from security service of Ukraine. You can apply mm-hmm. online. And mm-hmm. like for locals, it takes, it's not difficult. It's maybe 5-10 days and the permission is granted.
Mm-hmm.
And with this permission you can cross any checkpoint in the area, no problem. But I don't know if you are a foreigner.
Yeah,
I they am. Will to get there. So the easiest way is to go through Russia, but you will need a multi-entrance visa for Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can enter from Russian side. So you just get to Russia, for example, you can fly to Rostov.
Mm-hmm.
And from Rostov, you can take a taxi to Lugansk or Donetsk, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
And then you will cross. Well, officially, that crossing board is not controlled by Ukraine. So Ukraine says that if you cross the border there,
mm-hmm.
you will violate immigration rules. So you can get banned from coming to Ukraine later, or you can get some penalty.
Which is a
if
pity.
They find out.
Which is a pity. And in my case, I doubt that the government would let me in. I mean, I already asked them officially if I could enter the Chernobyl area, and they said, no way. Which is sad. Which is sad. At least in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, if you can... well, you just get a visa to Russia, like, but make sure it's multi-entrance, because if you go with one-time visa, I mean, you get there, and if you get out of Russia to Lugansk or Donetsk, you will not be able to get back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because officially for Russia, it will be like you left Russian Federation and crossed mm-hmm. the border.
So what is the status according to the Russian Federation of Donetsk and Lugansk?
For Russia, Donetsk and Lugansk are... well, in media they say those are independent republics, but on official level they say those are some areas of Lugansk and Donetsk regions that are not controlled by Ukrainian government. So on official level, they still recognize those areas same as Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And other.
Okay, and then just a few final questions on the situation in Ukraine, which is basically in a civil war, lost the Crimea to Russia, and has an exploded nuclear power plant. What's the situation to...
Well, you shouldn't call this civil war, because if Ukraine lost Crimea to Russia, it's not a civil war, really. It's a war between Ukraine and Russia.
No, I mean... To be honest, I think that the Crimea is gone. We can all say it's illegal, we can say it's bad. Yes, it is. But I don't think that Putin will give up the Crimea. And
well, Putin is not going to live forever.
That's true. That's true. But we will have a new puppet. And but what's the situation about making money in Ukraine? Is it safe? How's the corruption?
The situation with corruption is better, but is not the best. It's still far from being above the ground. It didn't move to better direction much. And now you know that IMF doesn't want to give money to Ukraine because Ukrainian government is putting pressure on anti-corruption. How you call it? National agency that which is fighting with corruption.
Mm-hmm. So basically,
and the US was going to give some money, but they canceled that idea, I think.
So basically, you say Ukraine, nice country, friendly people, but don't invest in it.
Yeah, if you find local guys who know how to avoid problems, mm-hmm. then yeah, why not?
Okay, is there any final comment you want to give to the listener or anything you want to sell?
Well, I don't know. If you can, what kind of questions you have, I can answer, no problem.
Yeah, okay, then I would say thanks for it, and I believe you are somewhere between Lugansk and Kiev at the moment, So I will let you know what my plans for my trip to Ukraine are, and let's see if we can meet up.
Okay, that would be nice.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. Hey.